Hello and welcome to the Happiness Podcast by Chris Erfel.
Hey everyone, and warm welcome to the Happiness Podcast. And today we have a guest I wanted to have on podcast for a long, long time, but he's always so busy. So finally we have him. Here we go, Matt Serankevich. Warm welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Chris. Happy to be here.
So before we jump into your uncommon advice on happiness, maybe why are you so busy? Like, can you explain the projects you're working on and the vision that you have for both projects? Because I think that's something that the audience will love to know more about, all the things that you're involved with.
Well, you know, one of my core values, I think, is balance. So I try not to be so busy, but life has this magic way of filling up my time with with various things, and probably my own ideas and pursuits add to that. Well, we've got a few things going on. Recently, I came to collectively call it the Liminal Future Group. It's a group of organizations in which we've got Huku Iku, which is the original digital agency I started like seven and a half years ago when leaving Silicon Valley. We've got an event series called Future Horizon, which is a way to empower leaders, connect them with each other, help them search for what would it mean to build a symbiotic future, as we've learned to describe it. We've got Future Quest, which is our way to fund climate primarily and environmental initiatives, something that we've done and run with starting last summer. Funded 17 organizations, and now we're working on sort of B2, which is very exciting. And then I've got my latest pursuit, which is Future Works, which is an AI transformation company. We help leaders, help organizations implement AI systems, organize their companies or their products or their offering and even brands a bit better using what has become available in the recent times.
Cool, perfect. So like, we're gonna jump more into those, but first of all I want to also explain to everyone that Matt is of course busy with these four projects, but also busy living an amazing life, right? So there was this conference where we were both invited to, the most traveled people conference for people who visited all 192 countries in the world. I couldn't make it, but Matt made it. So also, if you can explain to the audience what you learned there, because I'm very curious about this conference, the most traveled people conference.
That was an interesting invitation indeed. Yes, I did accept the invitation. I had the chance to speak there, which was humbling. I got to speak before the Secretary of State of the country in this huge auditorium. And it's a very interesting gathering. There's a platform that many people are not aware of called MTP, where people compete to travel to every place around the world. And I think there are around 1,500 of those places, and as they travel, they check them off. It's not easy as it would sound. It can take people 40 years to accomplish or more. And I think there are maybe 5 or 10 people who are even close to that. But
so there's 5 or 10 people who are close to finishing, but no one has finished it yet.
Has finished, and I think they keep adding those. And I myself, I am on this app. I was introduced to me by a friend, Luis Amaral, a couple of years ago. However, I have not yet made it my goal to travel and visit every place around the world. The place was quite incredible, though. You know, the stories that you get from, I think there were about 30 or 40 people who have been to every country. And, you know, it takes a bunch of effort because a lot of countries you can't even go to. And so the ways that they need to invent to get there and you know, their travel stories are just incredibly inspiring.
And on this conference, like, what was the, how happy were you seeing the people there? And where were, like, some of the talks were based on inner peace, happiness, or what was the common theme of the conference?
Well, the common theme was kind of practical tips for travel for most. I had the controversial subject of speaking about sustainable travel and how to actually make your life sustainable when you're such a traveler, which, you know, of course, is tricky. And I think there wasn't so much content on being happy. A lot of those people seem to follow like a challenge. They like that. They like a challenge, and they like to make it happen. There are people who have been, you know, pursuing various things, you know, participating in Tour de France and climbing on the mountains and visiting all the countries and so on. And that seems to give that community a huge sense of joy. And the community aspect is important of it. What I really liked about that particular gathering is the community element. Who know each other, many have known each other for many, many years. They've traveled through war zones and the various adventures, and they do seem to they share the same passion, which really is, and it's quite inspiring. I think there were a few other newbies in the group, not just me, and I noticed that a lot of people got inspired to travel much more, or at least when they travel, pick a new place rather than return to one they've been before.
Yeah, exactly. So when you travel, you go to new places that fully put you into cultures that are fully new, aren't they? Yeah. And these people, yeah, exactly. So they take like part of their life purpose now in experiencing this life to the fullest and experiencing all the cultures, no, all the areas, no, even the difficult ones. Because of course, to check off this list, you don't only go to nice places, no, you have to go really everywhere.
And, absolutely, yeah.
So big adventures have happening there.
Huge adventures. I mean, there are people there who walk, for example. They never travel any other way, right? And they still visit a lot of countries. And sometimes it's impossible to get into the country, so they have to walk between various locations, trying to build up their network in order to sort out a visa somehow for like 3 months. You know, so you can imagine the determination.
Yeah, I was actually also thinking like I was also thinking like maybe Luis could also be a great great guest in the future, because I want to hear his stories. Absolutely. About what his adventures that he had in Afghanistan just before the Taliban retook it. He has a lot of things to share on both travels, and it gets him so excited and brings him into the now, no?
And one has a bigger smile. So when it comes to a happiness podcast, I think that's a great fit.
That is very, very true. And so for you, like, let's have the two happiness questions that I really wanted to ask you. What are the moments that, you know, like that bring you fully into the now? Everyone has different habits and moments that you fully forget about thinking about the past or the future, but you're completely present. Like what are those moments that bring you into this strong presence of the now?
You know, we just mentioned travel, exploring new places and putting myself in a little bit of trouble. Safe trouble has always been a bit of that. You know, I haven't traveled as much as those people. I've been maybe to 80 countries or so, but it's definitely been a part of it. But to truly be in the moment, I think I generally just enjoy what I do. So I would say work.
I was also gonna say work. So like you know, I think episode 919 we had Jordan, who's a good friend of Matt and me. And yes. Me and Jordan, we have this theory that Matt has a twin brother that he's hiding from us because he's always accomplishing things. And we were like, no, he cannot just be one person, because he's also been like partying until 3 o'clock last night. How can he be working on future books already? So like, so we all have this theory that there's a hidden twin brother, and Matt is actually achieving it all because he's there two people. So yeah.
I wish.
So yeah, well, I do enjoy doing things.
So like,
for sure.
I can definitely see you very mm-hmm. happy when you're nerding out on your new
nerding
new,
out is
new,
fun.
New projects, or sure. Like or when you were like, yeah, in the moments when you got Future Horizon going, no, like maybe. Wait, I'm actually curious. Like, for a lot of people who want to start projects, mm-hmm. what was your workflow of starting Future Horizon? Like, how did you, like, you hired people very fast, or like, what was from the vision that you had, how did you go from the vision to executing it?
No, because Future Horizon
is like these events are a lot of work. Like, how did it come mm-hmm. from vision to execution?
You know, it started as a Burning Man camp. I think in 2017, I had a very hedonistic and very, I would say, interesting burn. I had a broken leg. and during that time, I had a lot of time to think about what would my better Burning Man experience would look like. And I thought, how about we start a camp that has some deeper intention than, you know, what regular Burning Man experience would bring. And so we thought, how about, you know, we gather some friends from various pockets in our life and history. You know, I've been moving around for years. I think it's been like 18 years that I'm moving around the world. And so, and I've had those disjointed groups of friends that I wanted to connect. And we thought, how about we, you know, make it about what we care about the most, which is the environment, sustainability, and under the umbrella of building a better future. So we kind of envisioned it as a sort of like Tulum meets Star Wars vibe, and started. And, you know, the first camp was an absolute shit show, but people liked it. It's not easy to organize a Burning Man camp.
Also, if you want, can you share like how much money you lost in the first and second edition of the camp? So like just share people like how dedicated you are to those projects, making it happen in the beginning.
Yeah, Fisher Horizon in general has been like, even when it was born after it, it's been losing money for a while. But I can't remember honestly. I think it was somewhere in like lower five figures each time. Mm-hmm. But you know, in 2019, we thought, how about we would start a real world version of it in Cabarete, where I was moving to at the time in Dominican Republic. We thought, how about we bring the beautiful community we have formed and think about what could we, you know, bring and offer to that town and that area. It was very localized at the time. We're thinking, you know, how about we just contribute to this place? And we brought maybe 60, 70 people, mostly our friends, for this experience. And then it turned out that
that was an amazing experience. Thank you for inviting me. I loved it.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was wonderful. You were a speaker, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was incredible. And it's just, you know, luck so had it that that the, you know, pandemic in the West started. I think we could say that it started mid-March 2020. And, you know, the market collapsed, I think, 2 days into the event. Our event was 10th to 16th, I think, of March. And so everyone arrived and they were sort of living this life of hearing about COVID, but not really living it. And suddenly everyone was leaving after those short 5 days and the world was in lockdown. And it was very interesting experience. For many people, this was the last event they've been to for another year or more. And so a lot of the community came together and incredible things happened. I mean, projects that were born within the community after that.
We had all the ideas of projects we want to implement, and then we had all the time, because in COVID times, exactly. Everyone's home and having time to actually sit down and nerd out. And like, for sure, like for me, I got so much done in COVID times, and for sure you even more. Like it's a super productive time, right?
Yeah, you know, I took it on the role of supporting whatever I can, but really there were ideas from the community, from people who just talked during the event and they came together. And, you know, at one point we counted what the nonprofit organizations born within that community after that raised. And it was, I think, in at least registered pledges, because I don't know how did it go with the market shifting after that and how many of them got realized. In registered pledges, at one point, it was like $280 million going to nonprofit, which was like insane effect of it. We were so so inspired that we decided to do it again. You know, it wasn't really the idea of doing a global Future Horizon.
Exactly. So here the process of execution. So me, I can learn from this and the audience can learn from this, no? So the execution is like, you always find people who you put in charge of CEO of this project, because you have like, in all of those projects, normally you have like people as CEOs and then people working there. And also what's the best, how do you always make this happen? Like, how do you find the right persons? And do you give them like shares of the projects, or how do you get someone that they are feeling fully in charge of a project?
You know, I'm a sort of former artist designer that just really wanted to kind of build startups since I was 20 or so, and I've never done my business side. I had to do it the hard way, so I had to make all the mistakes, and so I rejected the idea of CEO as a title for the most part until like last year, I think, when my executive coaching has put me to a position. Okay, now you're gonna use C-level titles. So there have been partners primarily. We've had structures that had partners, we did have a CEO for Future Horizon since 2021. So about a year after that event happened, to help and organize Angela. And she's been leading the organization end of last year, right? And so I wish I could tell you I have a great recipe, but I think I'm still learning. However, yes, in general, we do have people who lead each of those organizations, because otherwise it would be impossible. Recently, I started sort of becoming more involved myself as well, because I noticed, despite my best wishes, not everything can be delegated. And so I started kind of balancing it out back in a way that I'm also kind of directly involved.
Okay, so share maybe whatever project you've been involved in the most for last month. I think it's Future Works, but like or share everything, but like share all the projects that you've been most involved in, and share your passion for them, because like I see you. Sure. When she said like this brings you fully to now, so maybe explain us more about it, and what you know, like what are you currently working on, and how are you using AI for those things?
Sure. Well, yes, so the last sort of 3 months, I would say most time has been focused on Future Works. We did have a Future Horizon gathering 2 months ago, which also took a moment, and it was our biggest yet, and perhaps the most produced one. But luckily the team has been incredible, and they've taken most of it on them. But yeah, my primary focus has been Future Works. Future Works was a bet initially. It was an idea that emerged in March. I got inspired by someone doing the Hustle GPT challenge, basically to build a company with GPT-4 as soon as it came out as your boss. And I thought, you know, we've had years of experience working with AI in various forms, including GPT. And I thought, you know, making it your boss is probably not going to pan out, but making it your partner could work. Again, going back to partners, I guess. And so I just decided to do this 30-day challenge where I would run as a solopreneur with a partner as, you know, essentially prime, you know, GPT-4, which got like the voice of sort of like Hunter S. Thompson to make it a bit more fun. And the challenge was to build, in essence, a competitor to my agency. So my I've got a digital agency, Hukuiku, and the idea was to build an alternative that uses as much AI as possible in its processes, and therefore it can deliver things 3 times faster and therefore 3 times cheaper. You know, the 30-day challenge was an interesting story with you know, I took like just 3 days. I mean, I was quite amazed actually with what was suddenly possible. You know, we've been working with those tools for a while. First time I think we tried to make websites in using GPT was 2021, and kind of checked in from time to time. But suddenly with GPT-4, so much more was possible. And you know, I embarked on the journey. It took me maybe 3 days to go to market, have a website, and so on. And I started going with this, following a roadmap that
And on the website, the whole HTML coding was done by GTP, right? Like, or how much have you done? How much has the tool done? Because the website is very
clean. I would say 90%. Yeah, of the first website was done by. And it's still like the current website is just an evolution. So, yeah, like 90% came from there, and so. You know, I went at it, and then like you know, had a lot of excitement, and then first 10 days also passed, and not much happened, right? Like we're getting no traction, no attention. I saw the other Hustle GPT projects take off and get people like you know 100,000 followers on Twitter, and I'm here with like you know 1,000 or something, and I'm wondering if that's the right idea. But I kept pushing, and then about 2 weeks in, something started moving, and. I think the word got out. I started spreading the word a bit through LinkedIn and posting a bit wider and so on. And suddenly we started getting orders, we started getting a whole bunch of requests through this system. I built this thing called Composer, where you could just compose a project and get like a really cheap deal on a brand or website or an app. And yeah, and then from there, it just took off. And I think by the end of the 30 days, we had something like $1.5 million of projects in the pipeline. And we already had some projects going. We delivered just one project within the 30 days, maybe two. But we made like 20K revenue, which was enough to make this, you know, apparently the highest grossing Hustle GPT project at the time.
Nice.
And and it was a very interesting adventure. After that, you know, I breathed a sigh of, you know, I had a huge piece of relief, and I was, you know, about to focus back on other things mostly, but we got some requests from people to show up in some media, and I, you know, to be on a couple of podcasts, and then to speak, right, to share the story and to share about this experience with some organizations. And so I gave a few talks, and those invitations you know started expanding a little bit more, and requests started coming for us to kind of share how do we do it with the AI, right? We don't, you know, not just kind of deliver things, but how do we actually embrace it within our organization? What are the processes we use? How do our people use this stuff? And we've learned quite a lot in the process. So I think eventually in July, I got invited by YPO to give a talk about this. And I shared some thoughts, and a bunch of people reached out after that. And it was clear that we've got an opportunity to do some good work there. And in the meantime, we've been chatting with a friend of mine and an advisor to my company for like 3 years, James Hurst, formerly head of brand design at Google up until March, then left and created an AI company that can create strategy for brands, for branding services. Very interesting project called Future Cards, another future thing. And we started chatting about it. We decided to actually make this a thing together. And so the Future Works 2.0, so to speak, was born just a couple of weeks ago. And it focuses on driving AI transformation, helping organizations, big and small. You know, the biggest organization we're talking to right now is 100,000 employees. The smallest one is probably maybe 10 or so. So a big spectrum right now. And we're developing programs, AI-powered programs, to help organizations embrace those solutions, and for themselves to, you know, save money or become more productive or become more efficient at marketing and more effective in general. So that's basically the focus of Future Works. And as we went sort of organically, I think it's pretty much as organic as it was with Future Horizon. I think this will be a main area of focus for me for the next, for foreseeable future, because it's exciting. I really love doing this. We've got a great, great team. We've got people from Google and IDEO and so on. And it's really like a team of top-notch experts. And we've got those underlying systems we're building. So I think we've got a lot of opportunity to make a big difference. And that, to me, connects directly with our mission, you know. I mean, my sort of purpose, I think, is to help assure that maximum amount of other species make it out of current situation, so to speak. And so basically helping with climate environment, climate startups and leaders. And I do see a huge opportunity for those tools, those optimizations to help founders, leaders, and organizations just to kind of move better and faster and make better decisions, have insight. That's the last 3 months of main focus.
Nice. So yeah, I'm very, very happy to hear. I didn't expect anything else, Matt. I'm very happy how future works is exploding, and you have a lot of focus on passion for this. And also I really like that you came into your purpose in life, no? So since how many years do you have your strong purpose which you're following? Did you have a phase where you're a bit lost and now you have it more? And how did you find your purpose?
I absolutely had a phase when I was lost. I probably had several, but there was a time when I left Silicon Valley with sort of odds with Silicon Valley. I had a sort of hostile takeover of my startup, and as with time, I kind of concluded that the effect that was an effect of me in general just not being happy there with where I was, and that had a lot to do with what I would think was unexpected at the time with my spirituality or lack of. So anyway, like I left in 2015, and I just went traveling, you know. I went traveling for a few months, and I found it really, really enjoyable. I came back, I packed all my apartment, donated like bags on bags of stuff to charity, sold my car and motorbike, and I packed into a backpack essentially, and went traveling, and which ended up being 2 more years of travel. And in that travel, I've been my primary search was actually very it's very fitting for this podcast. It was happiness. You know, I actually haven't been happy. I don't think I've been happy since I was maybe 12, 13. And at that point I was 28 maybe. And I still wasn't happy, and I just couldn't understand how can people be happy, and why, like, what does it mean? Like, it's an inside job. It comes from within. Like, what does it mean that you're happy, you know, like inherently happy? And so it took me some time to discover. And, you know, as it comes, you know, the cliche is when you go out to the world and travel, then you discover yourself. And as part of that, I started sort of defining my focus. And at the time I had Kukuiku already. I started it in 2015. And we were basically making apps for Silicon Valley companies. But as I traveled, I noticed that there are just a lot of issues in the world, and those need to be addressed, and I should be doing my part. And so I started redirecting this company to focus much more on kind of like future, building a better future, which meant us creating a nonprofit arm. We started supporting nonprofit organizations, primarily in education, social justice, and environment. And we created like a little venture studio, which also had most of the orgs were focused on impact. And that has led us to, you know, really interesting places. We worked with very future focused, very interesting companies. and you know, with electric cars and hypersonic airplanes and all sorts of good stuff, and also quite a lot of AI, and that's what I brought. That's what brought us the experience that we are using now. But the purpose started forming. I'm still sort of, you know, I think I've defined my purpose a while ago, but I'm still honing in on like, how is that actually being used? How can I use my voice, my gifts, let's call it, what I have best to, you know, to make a bigger impact than myself, right? And you know, live this world a little bit better. And so I think that's how it formed. I mean, there were many adventures along the way. It took you know, traveling around the planet, discovering various cultures and people and plant medicine and all sorts of experiences. But I think that's how I honed in on my purpose.
Nice, thanks. Yeah, like definitely, like you're definitely leaving the world better. Like, thank you so much for connecting so many people together with all your events that you're hosting, for always having a charity site in your companies. That's always, I always see the people who look out and have a part for charities. They always make it bigger. No, like from people I know, it's always the ones who actively do this, even in the beginnings already. We are always getting big. Maybe for the last questions, Matt. So basically, you mentioned that like the search for more happiness in life from 12 to 28. What are some things that have helped you? Like, what have you found helpful? Like, have you changed your morning routine a bit, or have you changed some habits? Like, what brought it for you to be more happy in life, more of inner peace and more.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
I think this, I think I'll mention the making it big as well, because I by all no means have I made it big or in the general terms, but there was a moment when we were definitely making it quite big in a few ways, and suddenly, you know, market turned, and me running multiple organizations at once and having, you know, investments in very forward-looking, risky areas, I had to grapple with quite a lot of pressure in the last sort of year and a half. And I think on one end, it's been an incredible testament, I think, to what I've been able to discover during those travels and kind of happiness hacks and various ways, because I've been like, you know, it's been probably, you could say, last year actually has been sort of like the worst time I've had, maybe, in a way, because of just so many things going so wrong in so many organizations, like whether I invested in them or I've been running them and so on. And yet I've been happy, like really happy all this time, right? I never had a day when I was unhappy during that. And in the past, it used to be the opposite. Things were going well, but I was unhappy, right? And so that was quite interesting. And I think that made me think that I've definitely built some resilience and some mindset that allows me to be this way. And then this year, you know, I've been sort of honing in on management, you know, when I've had all those different structures to run on, very different and so on, I started kind of questioning, like, you know, am I a good leader? Am I a leader in first place? How do I do it? You know, yes, we connect a lot of people, a lot of incredible people like yourself through Future Horizon. And that's been a big part of my wish to contribute and very fulfilling. But, you know, to really like fulfill what we can, and like you said, I'd say make it big, it requires, you know, a certain degree of doing it well. And so I've been working with an executive coach. I've been kind of digging deeper, and things started sort of popping up. And I think sort of naturally, it's never been like prescribed or said by anyone or, you know, told, but I've definitely embraced a bunch of elements recently. One is I have my morning routine back, which I used to have when I stopped for a while. There was a period when for a couple of years I worked on this kind of like one of our key projects called Maloka, which was a mindfulness meditation game and platform. And so I meditated because we've been testing, we've been improving, we're building it out. I meditated like hours every week.
I also want to share quickly for you and the audience my plan after recording this podcast, because after this podcast I have just one more call for half an hour. But then my breath work meditation day. So after this, I'm looking forward to a 2-hour meditation followed by 1.5 hours of breath work. So normally I just do 1.5 hours of breath work, but today I was like, let's go full. And I'm excited for this. Like for me, it's really like doing this like once a week. You know, you cannot do these long blocks like every morning. That's not feasible in our world as a founder. But on first is my mindfulness day. So like, but now over to you. I really want to hear your morning routine. I've never heard this. I'm very, very curious.
My morning routine is pretty simple. It's morning pages that are back as of this year, and I've been somewhat good at doing it every day. It's a little bit of workout, so just some movement, keep it very short, and a green tea. Very, very simple, but it does add some structure, help, and energizes me for the morning. Beyond that, I've been practicing something that we've sort of discovered as well when we're working on Maloka. Rather than like long meditation sessions, I've been practicing mindful breaths. So, as you know, I feel like after working on that project, I got so meditated out that I didn't meditate for a while. And recently, and I still
for everyone who doesn't know, so Maloka is a meditation app in VR. So you meditate in virtual reality.
It's also mobile, but yeah, it's like a multi-platform meditation. And there's also more. There are more different mindful experiences. It's our gateway drug to consciousness, as we've been referring to it internally. But after that, I felt like it's just didn't feel like doing those longer meditations. And so one thing that I embraced is those shorter mindful moments. And you know, for that there are various ways to do it. You can remember, you can leave a note, you can use an app. There's like an app, for example, 1 sec, that makes you take a deep breath, and you can configure it to be longer or shorter and so on. And it makes you take a deep breath, for example, before you open Twitter or Instagram or another soul consuming app. I think that's been most of it. However, recently I also got to deepen my, especially in conversation with some friends, but also in some experience, I got to kind of deepen my discovery of the other worlds, so to speak, however it might sound. Or just the deeper dive in kind of like a fabric of universe or essence of things. I don't really know how to refer to it, but I've noticed that, you know, a whole set of fellow entrepreneurs and people in our community and so on started sort of, you know, discussing and diving deeper into kind of like, you know, the essence of you know, what life is and structure of everything. And so I think that's been a great contribution. So kind of understanding, my biggest revelation of late is that I, you know, being so for environment and nature and so on, I thought that everything is sort of, the underlying structure of everything is very organic. And I've recently come to sort of think that it's actually kind of more like geometric and crystalline in a way. Which probably ascends into like a new level of woo or so, but there are just very interesting things you can observe that I had a chance to experience.
Thanks. And plus, one topic I want to go back into. So your morning routine, I think it's one that really works for you, no? Because it's like a short one, and you actually kind of do it every morning. So that's already it has all the positive things of what you need in this case, no? So for people as founders or people who want to overachieve or achieve a lot of things, we tend to overthink. So when you have this, like journaling or writing things down, like you do in the morning, like writing things down, it's the best thing to calm your mind and to not overthink. And tea is great. Of course, moving, like, you know, like doing push-ups or yoga or any kind of sports in the morning is it really activates your body, having a lot of water as well. But tea, for me, I can also take for sure. It's been tea since a while. I don't know if you know, but one of my favorite clients is a tea company from Germany, and they're exploding right now on Facebook and TikTok ads. So with this, no, like of course I drink very very green tea all the time, and it tastes way better. so it's like it has more coffee. No, it actually, like, I, the next time you come to Barcelona, I'll give you one. It's actually way, way better. But I'm not going to pitch the name.
I'd love some.
But I'll show you. You will see. Like, it's they made it like some of young people, like tea, so that it tastes epic for young people. So, have more It feels like you're drinking 1,000 things at a time. Like, it's like completely explosion in your mind, whereas most tea was kind of boring to me. So that's kind of cool, but in general, no. Yeah. So like having a morning tea is something good. Matt, what is what's one uncommon?
I'm a big fan of tea.
Man, we can do a tea party. Let's do a tea party together soon.
Tea party for sure.
So what's an uncommon advice on happiness? You know, like everything is like, of course, you know, you do sports, you do mindfulness moments. A lot of people have like known this. You have to actually execute it. But the more important thing is people execute it, be more grateful. If we really have this habit of looking around things, of being grateful. One thing I wanted to share, and then to share me your uncommon advice of things that people don't know. One thing I wanted to share in today's podcast, what I talked about. Yesterday at the beach while playing foot volley, one of my friends Noah mentioned of like, Chris, you know what really makes me grateful is like walking into a supermarket and seeing it without all the habits and things, like with all the learning from the past, of just like as if you're like a 4 or 5 year old kid and going to a first time, and you're like, you know, in the past we had to like hunter and gather all of those things, and you go in there and it's like, it's incredible, like all the food, all the things I want to drink is just there, and you know, like they're not so expensive, you can afford most of those things, right? So you go in there where you can afford easily affordable things, most of them, and you just get all the fresh fruits, all the juices, all the sugar you want, all the chocolate, it's all for you to pick, no? Like, isn't this incredible? And we just go in there like, I have to go shopping. But actually, when you think about it, like, if you just, you should not, don't go get accustomed to things. No, like when you go to elevator and it works, be grateful, like it works. When you go to the market and the shelves are full and you can grab anything you desire. This is amazing, like the most amazing fresh berries, you know, like for me currently, I have like always a fridge full of berries. It makes me very happy. So like
now
that's something that really is like changing my mind. It's like, and I go to supermarkets now, I'm like, yes, it's like, it's epic.
Now I understand all the people clapping when you land an airplane, but
boom, we made it.
I mean, we just get used to things so easy, right?
Like, I mean,
it's
like,
not,
you know,
even like,
you know, like, you know, in a plane, I always get annoyed when people clap, but actually when you think about it, you know, like you just went through the air, like you went through the air from London to New York in 8-9 hours by air, with you just sitting there and watching a TV show which has come by pixels, which is like made, like it's all kind of magic when you think about it.
Human flight.
Yeah, you know, so I think that is very, very cool. But yeah, please share your uncommon advice on happiness that you found that works for you, maybe for some others as well.
What works for me is actually the uncommon thing about happiness maybe is that, think of it this way. So I had this whole journey of discovering happiness, right? I used to go to gatherings about happiness. I've been reading books and I've been trying to find happiness, right? And eventually it worked. And so when it worked, I was like, holy shit, now I'm happy. I know how, I'm just happy, you know, and I've been happy since. And so a whole lot, you know, I've been trying to help people who are unhappy. Of course, it's a common disease these days for people not to be happy despite having that supermarket and that airplane and a lot of other things. And so I used to be very quick with advice, right? Like, okay, here are a few hacks I discovered for myself that would lift me up no matter what. I could be in a worst position, not wanting to get out of bed or getting up angry or whatever. Were three, really. One was wishing well. So loving kindness meditation, they call it. So basically you pick random people, doesn't matter who that is, could be a person on a bus or someone next to you or your mom, and you wish them well. And you just focus and you really like, I wish you have a beautiful day, I wish you have wonderful sex, whatever it is. And that makes you immediately, it lifts you up. The second thing is gratitude, right? That's very common. Basically being, you know, practicing gratitude, acknowledging what's actually good. And the third one, movement, right? Then those three things worked for me. And for me, movement, out of all movement, kite surfing is the one when, to your answer, to your first question, this is when I completely, you know, when I move at speed while kite surfing, nothing else exists. And that's when I'm probably the happiest, like in the moment, you know, riding through waves, jumping, whatnot. That's when I'm the happiest.
Or like when you're driving and all of a sudden a whale comes up and you jump over a whale and it's even captured by a drone. That was an epic moment here.
Well, I didn't jump. That, you made it sound really epic. I was just riding next to a whale. I didn't jump. However, I did hit a shark in Miami.
I want to hear the jump story. Exactly. You're driving, you hit a shark.
I did hit a shark. Yeah. That was scary and weird. The shark got more scared than I did. We probably both got really scared. But yeah, there's a shark, like a 3-4 meter shark emerged in front of me while I was riding and I just bumped into its fin. On Miami Beach as well. It didn't necessarily, but later I learned that it's quite common that they come. So I think what works for me are those three things for like kind of immediate fixes. But what I came to understand after, you know, recommending similar things, you know, what other things that worked for me was microdosing acid for a while, you know, breathing into spirituality and Buddhism, rebalancing,
which is like the most Silicon Valley thing ever, like in half of people.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I was just coming out.
Microdosing LSD.
I was just coming out of the Bay Area and I was trying to fix me. And so as I was microdosing acid And those things work in particular cases, but I think not enough maybe attention is given to simply having a balance. So like when you think of things in your life as like a kind of spider web chart, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with a spider chart where you've got like those kind of like circular and you've got those different areas. Some people call it the flower of life. You can have different disciplines, like work, love, spirituality, and so on. It actually kind of doesn't matter how high are you on all of those. As in, like, do you have a lot of money? Do you have a lot of love? Do you have a lot of, you know, do you work out a lot? But it matters that they are all kind of balanced with each other. So you cannot have, like, some that you really narrow in on and some completely abandoned. For example, what I discovered was that I had zero spirituality, right? Like I've done a lot of looking into it. I was like really trying to figure out religion and God when I was a teenager. So, I read Bible, Quran, Torah when I was a teenager. I would go and ask priests and then when I was and talk to them about it. And then when I was like 14, I decided there's no God. It's all nonsense and I'm done. you know, and eventually after like 15 years or so since that moment, I realized that the missing piece in that flower of life, or the spider chart of my different life properties, is spirituality. And so I started digging deeper, understanding it, you know, and when I was able to find that, and you know, in a new way, maybe my own way, and with my own understanding, but like understanding that I could truly believe in and know that it's true, then I started being happy. And I think that is one thing that I noticed that might be overlooked, because everyone's different. And it's really hard to use those, like, you know, get up every day, make your bed, you know, work out for a minute, you know, you can't be a loser if you wake up at 5 a.m. every day, you know. This advice does not, I don't think it works for everyone. It probably all helps and it's worth trying. But I think the one thing that I noticed really can help is this balance. And maybe second part, if I'm to add, is love. And that doesn't necessarily need to be love with someone. It can be love for what you're doing, love for yourself, which is so hard to achieve, I feel like, for us in like in the West. It's either kind of skewed through this American self-love prism that we hate in Europe. or just not there. Like, I come from Poland and I feel like culturally self-love is just something that's seen as narcissistic and wrong. And it's just, you know, and I think I would say love for something, for yourself, but that takes work. It's not, I don't think self-love is like easy to get to.
I think no, like it's like most things in life are the decision. You decide for things and then you work on it. So like you said, yeah. Okay, I want to have more self-love. You Google or you ask ChatGPT what are ways to do that. For example, standing in a mirror and you know, like for me, this is one thing. I'm lucky. I love myself a lot, and it's mm-hmm. been like this has been like one thing that's easy for me. Like also since yeah. the past, but like a lot of people who I have like tell them like no, stand to a mirror and just compliment yourself for your features, for your character. Like you know, like really like be with yourself there and tell yourself that you love yourself. And that's like that advice came from ChatGPT, you know. So there's a lot of things, a lot of techniques that are proven to help you. And I want to, add to what you said, no, because wow, that was mm-hmm. one of my favorite parts of this podcast so far. Like very, very beautiful summarized, Matt. And exactly, like, so you really want to A/B test, no, like in marketing, also in life, no, like maybe 5 a.m. club is for you. Maybe it's not for you. I tried it. It's not for me. I'm not a 5 a.m. club kind of guy. And also doing a 1 minute workout is like, it's just so short. It's not unsatisfying.
Yeah.
But for some people, I know so many people who the 5 a.m. club changed their life. So you need to A/B test this. You need to test what's the right thing for you, no? In which way you want to go?
I fully believe this, you know.
And
I've seen great things happen. Like I've seen people close to me who have tried everything that's out there in terms of like this, you know, new age, very progressive thinking ways, and in the end they just had a psychiatrist give them some antidepressants, and they were fine, and they're still fine after years, you know. And so you kind of, you know, there are various ways, you know, you never know what's going to work. But I think the balance and the love are probably as deep as I could get. And yeah, and so, you know, I've been diving as well recently, I sort of understood that like, as much as we care for environment, we want to build business because we want to, you know, fulfill things in life, the most important thing I'm realizing is just to be kind to each other and kind to others and help others heal and grow. And I think that's something that I'm noticing that's just the perhaps most important function that we can have as specimen of this species, interacting with others and doing anything in life. And I think this might be contributing to happiness. Quite a degree as well.
That was actually like the last words of my grandfather before he died three weeks ago. he was like,
"Wow, I'm sorry."
One thing I wanted to share with all of you for family, just always be kind to everyone who's surrounding you in your life. Like at any moment, be kind. And I was like, "Wow, that's so beautiful." Last words that he had, like, just it's so important for a good life to constantly be kind and treat people really well. Like that was like, I was like, he's my idol. And like, now I was very impressed with his last words before he said, and then he actually went to sleep and didn't wake up. Yeah. So it's actually, you know, a good way to go. No, at 93 years old without having pain.
Wow. That's incredible and 93 years of collecting wisdom plus the human story before that. I think that's truly the perhaps the most important thing.
And another thing I want to add is like, definitely, like, you know, be kind and treat people how you want to be treated. No. And also the other thing that you said, that you were like, you were feeling more spiritual when you had this phase of 15 years where you weren't at all, and now you're coming back to it. That's a very, very common theme that is like happening to most people actually. And it's one of the five pillars to be happy. You know, it's like you do want to have a purpose in life. That's one of the pillars that really helps you to be happy. But you want to feel also one of the pillars of happiness is you want to have a guidance in life. So if you feel guided by some higher energy or whatever it is, that you feel protected and guided of whatever it happens for a reason, that all is going to be good in the end. If you have this, like you will reach way higher levels of inner peace, you know, which is nice. So like, I'm very happy that you also have this now of you feeling more guided.
I think I feel stoic in a way. Sometimes it's hard to be stoic because like when stuff blows up, you know, but I think, yeah, guided is probably, I think there is just a very interesting, ancient, forever existing order in a way, and which provides us with a sort of distance to the smaller things that happen. And when the small things happen, you can kind of treat them as weather. Like they pass just like rain would pass. And when you extrapolate it, even bigger things that happen to our civilization and so on, they're also sort of weather, you know, with enough distance. And so, you know, it, of course, you know, it's like a cliche that we are insignificant on this pale blue dot, but therefore nothing should really matter. But when you really kind of hone in and actually see this, I guess, then I think, I'm not sure if I feel like necessarily guided. I more so feel like what is healthy for me after this exploration, which, you know, allows me to maybe choose a little bit better. But I definitely feel like kind of protected, but by protected by the fact that probably to my best level of cognition, at least my spirit or whatever this spark of energy is with me, is this forever thing that's connected to a network of others, and it's just there, you know. This time will pass, but this will carry on. And so I think that gives me a sense of perspective in a way. I don't know how to best put it in words.
I understand what you mean, and exactly, you know, like this spark of energy, how you put it, no, like I think you can, yeah, you can best see it if you immerse yourself fully in the present moment, all of a sudden you feel like this strong presence, and you're like, oh my god, this is crazy, which of course can also be guided with plant medicine, but also just like being fully on a walk in nature can also get you there. For me, that's why I love breathwork so much, as you know, like breathwork fully gets me there.
Breathwork is an incredible tool for this.
They were always saying, no, like if breathwork was a drug, you just take a pill and you have these effects, the whole world would do it all the time. But because you have to actually work for it and breathe for half an hour or 1 hour, depending on the technique, that is like people don't do it as much. But if it was an easier access to it, and people will be like, oh my god. But like I really think it's like, you know, like the life purpose is about helping others, helping the planet, and I think you're achieving a lot on your purpose, and I really wish you best to keep on, you know, if you're already achieving this at your age, I'm curious for where we're gonna go as a group of Future Horizon, and where we're going to go, you and me, you know, like as things we can start in the next foreseeable future of like, how can we help humans at a scale to be happier? How can we help the world at a scale to be more sustainable? And I think also it comes hand in hand in some ways, no? Like if you're in a state of more inner peace, you don't need to buy as many things or consume as many resources because you're already very much at bliss with what you have. It's mostly when I think about myself, like the big purchases you make when you're actually in an unhappy state, and you just try to solve it by buying something which never works, obviously, but you just try.
Yeah, exactly. It just leads to the new thing. Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, you know, we'll be finding what's on the horizon.
All right.
And,
so
and I would heading say, there together, but
I would say, know,
yeah,
I would say it's come to, thank you. The last question. So now you, because I know you have big groups of WhatsApp, right? Where we have like everyone on Future Horizon with like 500 people in WhatsApp group, and you're very active there.
Yeah.
Now you have a WhatsApp group, Telegram WhatsApp group, whatever, and we have 8 billion people in it, the whole world, right? And you can write you can write messages there, a very limited message, but you can write messages there, and everyone is gonna read it in their own language. What kind of messages would you like to share with all humans on the world?
Wow. Okay. So that's a big question. I think it's maybe, you know, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So, you know, for more people to basically think that they can. They are 8 billion people in the end. They make marginally smaller choices, you know. The whole premise of Future Horizon is to inspire people to make slightly better choices even. And, you know, especially the kind of leaders and entrepreneurs that we've got. But science would say that we make 32,000 choices per day, roughly. Now, if you've got 8 billion people making at least some of those choices better, in, you know, recognition of what makes them happier and makes the world head towards a state where we are no longer running on credit with, you know, the payment date and insolvency of the planet coming, you know, within years, then I think a lot can be accomplished. And so I think the key message is like, you know, we can change things, we can improve things, we constantly are doing so. And so many of those people have all sorts of different conditions, and, you know, there is someone that loves you. I think maybe that's another part of the message. You know, when we talk to the indigenous who have been, you know, on the megaphones sharing their message, you know, in the indigenous are, you know, protecting something like 80% of protected areas, landmass in the world. You know, they're constantly under all sorts of pressures and attack and genocide, even, as some would say. You know, I think it's very, if they were to hear this message, you know, they would definitely want to know that they're heard and that there are people working towards, you know, help. But it's a big, big question that you just asked me. So I think I would need to also spend some time thinking about it.
Nice. I'm happy to ask the big questions, and yeah, I think this podcast turned out very, very well. I'm very happy to having you on the podcast, and definitely happy to have you on again in a year or so. And thank you also for example, one of the many, many things that you said that impacted me and others is like, I haven't done a loving kindness meditation in a long time. I normally do normal meditations, and today in the 2-hour meditations, I think I'm actually gonna do a 20-minute loving kindness meditation. There's a free app; it's called Oak. I can put it in the show notes. I'll do those 20 minutes, and then the rest 1 hour 40 of normal meditation. But you inspired me for this, so yeah, you keep on inspiring me with you and your twin. You know, so
getting still looking for the twin.
Getting
we're hiring.
Getting all of those things done, and yeah, having so many beautiful projects that all have the purpose of providing help to others and providing help to the planet, the future quest and future horizon. So yeah, thank you for being in the world. You're very, very loved by your friends and by everyone. So keep on providing amazing change, but also, you know, like, don't do it as a sprint, but do it as a marathon at a pace that is good and that is not, you know, like allow yourself breaks as well, you know, like it's so important. Now we're recording this in August to also have weeks of just, you know, have like fully balanced and having time for beach days, time for sleeping in, you know, like time to meditate. So that's the balance always makes it, as you said. No, you have to have every area full. So also recharge batteries and then make future works the powerhouse that it's gonna be.
Very important. The balance is what I found most important thing. Everyone has their own level of balance. My level is probably a bit more work than most people do, but finding that balance, you know, now being here, I'm at this gathering in Ibiza, that, you know, full of people working to, you know, in a sense, build a better future. That's bring me this necessary balance. And yeah, and I think I'll ponder your question some more, and you gotta let me know what was the effect of the loving kindness meditation. And thank you so much. This was a delightful experience.
All right, perfect. Thank you. See you guys. Have an amazing day whenever you're listening, and have an amazing day and hour whenever you're listening to this.
Hey everyone, and warm welcome to the Happiness Podcast. Today I'm recording the session here in Barcelona on the 5th of October, and I just had a breathwork session with an amazing, amazing coach, and via Zoom. Normally we don't do via Zoom, but it's currently working very, very well for us. And one of the things I want to share right away, also to hold myself accountable, and because I'm really happy that things are moving in this direction again. So one of the things I've done in my life that I'm the most proud of was reaching out to World Food Program, and to help share the meal with their Facebook ads. And since then, I've done a lot of consulting, like I think over 100 companies now. I have to actually check. Last time I checked, there was 83 companies, but
I haven't checked in a long time. It must be above 100 now, I think. But I haven't helped a lot more charities. I helped the Norwegian Refugee Council, but I haven't really been involved a lot with charities and helping. So tomorrow I have it on my calendar for 2 hours to reach out to various charities that have a high ad spend and to see if I can help them, you know, because normally the consulting sessions are expensive, but for those charities, as I did also with Share Meal in the past, I would do it for free pro bono. So yeah, also if you happen to listen to this and you have a charity like this, or you know someone, or you know a charity which I could help well. My World Health Organization was one thing I'm thinking about, but there must be even better ones who are really. So important thing is I can help them best because what I do very well is Instagram, Facebook ads. So if they're running ads, I can help them the best. But that's just one thing I wanted to share. And the other thing, it was a good session. I was reading way less fluent. Also, you can also hear in the last episode on the podcast with Matt that I was stuttering more. And now after the session, very, very fluent again. And I have one device that we can now measure before and after the session from BioWell. And I'm very happy with that. So, I have to share this also once in the future. I really enjoy being able to measure things, because what you can measure, you can track. And it's also cool that you can measure those things, because I'm very used to measuring things in the digital space and with ads. And another thing that we worked on today that really, really helped us, I'm currently playing the new book from Elon Musk that just came out. I think 2 weeks ago it came out, and nearly finished it on Audible. And he had such a hard childhood and such a strong feeling of not being enough and not fitting in. And this made him hyper so successful, at least on a capitalist scale. No, probably not on an inner peace scale, but on a capitalist scale, he's very, very successful. And also if he helps humans to colonize Mars, definitely that's something that will help us for the future generations. So I had this limiting belief of maybe this I shouldn't fully erase this thoughts of I'm not good enough, because it helps me to have a thrive and to be productive. But this is actually fully wrong, because if I think back, and in the session we fully went into this, every time I think when I had work situations and this came up, it was always hindering me from performing at the level I could. And if I feel this less, yes, actually I get the highest performance streaks. So it's completely, when you look at it rationally, it's not related. And I'm very happy to get this realization and another step in the right direction. And if my parents, I'm super happy. Now we're coming to Barcelona in 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll be some of the most epic days. So planning amazing things together. And wanted to just send those updates to really hold myself accountable to do pro bono, because it's such a good thing, and I've done a lot in the past, and somehow it slipped away. The busy life happens, and then you're I'm too busy. But no, I'm currently very busy, but no excuse. I will for sure do it. And also busy is a choice, and currently is a choice. I'm busy by choice, because I want to get a lot of things done, but it's always a choice. And also the person from the episode, Matt, I hope you all really liked him. We'll meet him on Saturday again here in Barcelona, and also looking forward to that. So with that, wishing you all the most amazing day or night, whenever you're hearing this. And so much love from beautiful Barcelona.
Thanks for listening to another episode from Chris Erthal on the Happiness Podcast.